today's discourse. So thank you, Maharaj-ji, for being so merciful upon us. So today Maharaj-ji is speaking on the glories of Purushottam or Adhik Mass. I would like to welcome Maharaj-ji and request him to commence today's discourse. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय
चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा
मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमो ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन्विति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। I am very happy to be with all the devotees of Vaman Kshetra in Sydney, and also a very warm welcome to other devotees who have joined from other places in Sydney and elsewhere also. I am very pleased that I could have all of you, your association on this auspicious day, which is the first day of the holy Purushottama month, which is very dear to the devotees. I gave a class this morning in Hindi on this topic, so I'll try to speak something which is substantially different from what I spoke in the morning today, although certainly there will be some things which are common. I do hope that all of you are keeping well and safe in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, and that you are utilizing this opportunity for progressing in your Krishna consciousness. So we have in the Purushottam month something very peculiar as far as the Vedic culture is concerned. We have two differing, opposite and extreme views about this month, and both derive their convictions from the Vedic scriptures. So this might sound a little confusing. So let's just understand why this is so and why Purushottam month is considered this way by different groups of followers of the Vedic culture. The first view about the Purushottam month is that this month is abominable. It is useless. No benefit can be derived from this month. And so abominable is it that the name Malamasa has been given. Mala means stool, and Choramas, which means the month of thieving. So there are such names, terms, derogatory or denigrating terms that are given to this month of Purushottama. So that is one view. The other view is just the extreme, where it is said that this is a very potent month. It is the best month. It is better than Kartik, Magh, Chaitra, Vaishak and Shravan, etc., etc. It can yield the greatest benefit to humanity, and therefore it is worshipable. So naturally the question will arise in our mind as to why there are such differing and extreme views within one culture. It's one thing if there are some minor differences in approach, but here you have something that where the differences are extreme. So the answer is that this difference it has to do with differing conceptions of the purpose of life. And in order that these different conceptions of life may be furthered within some kind of authoritative Vedic framework, there are some specific scriptures that have been given for all kinds of people. So there are corresponding scriptures for these views, and that they promote those views and they facilitate their attainment for their adherents or followers. So what is the first view? Why do they consider this month to be abominable? That first view essentially is the goal of life in that first view is materialistic, more or less. So the followers of this, or the adherents of this view, their goal of life is essentially to be fruitive workers, to get the benefits or fruits of their actions in this world. But they are not whimsical, you know, like those people who reject the scriptures and do anything they like. So they have some piety, and therefore they follow certain Vedic scriptures or scriptures that are derived from the Vedic scriptures. The original Vedic scriptures are called Shruti, that which is heard. And then scriptures that are derived from that are those that are Smritis. There are Smritis also, there are hierarchies. There is a hierarchy of Smriti Shastra. Some are more important, some are not as important. So there are different varieties of Smriti Shastras written by various sages, and these include considerations of piety and impiety, of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness, and they delineate a lot of rules and regulations. They speak about the proper conduct, improper conduct. They speak about a variety of rituals. So essentially this path is rather ritualistic, and the goal is materialistic. So the various scriptures, the particular sutras, the Smriti sutras that talk about all these rules and regulations and rituals and so on, are called the Smriti Shastras. So the followers of these, they believe in the Vedic texts and they believe in the premise of the Puranas, but specifically they have a certain approach. Now, they are called Smartas. Now, we are not going to get into the technicalities of Smartha, what is Smartha, etc., because that is a topic in itself. There are many things to discuss. Suffice it to say very briefly that there are in Vedic culture varieties of worshippers. There are Vaishnavas who worship Vishnu or Krishna. Then there are Shaktas who worship Shakti, that is Kali or Durga. And then there are also devotees, worshippers of Shiva, who are called Shaivas. So the Smarthas are in a kind of a fourth category, and they have kind of combined a few things of the different six philosophies of the Vedas. And so they believe in Panchopasana, generally speaking, and they may have the preference for a particular deity, but they believe generally that you can either worship Vishnu or Shiva or Ganesh or Surya or Durga. So these five divinities. And generally it is seen that when they get a little philosophical, they are definitely inclined towards the Advaita conception, which means the monistic or the impersonalistic conception, spiritually speaking. So, however, broadly we can classify them as Smarthas without getting too much into the technicalities. And largely it is the people who follow this are into karma. Maybe some with jnana also, but essentially karma. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that there are two varieties of scriptures in the house of the Vedas. One is the Smartha Shastras, which I have just described now. The second he calls the Paramarthika or Paramarthika Shastras. And the word Artha has many meanings. One of the meanings is benefit. And the word Param means supreme. So the word Paramartha refers to the supreme benefit. So those scriptures that delineate or elucidate the supreme benefit for all humanity, they are called the Paramarthika Shastras. So naturally, the followers of this view, the adherents of this kind of philosophy of life, they are very spiritually inclined. They are essentially devotees of Lord Krishna. And their only consideration is what is favorable to devotional service and what is not. So whatever is favorable to devotional service is considered auspicious, and whatever is not favorable to devotional service is considered inauspicious. So therefore, okay, I've just got a note that the volume has to be raised. I have raised the volume to the maximum. I've raised it, I don't know. Can you all hear me now? Okay, you can hear fine. So, where was I? Yes. So, those who follow the Paramarthika Shastras, they're essentially devotees of Lord Krishna. So, essentially, they are the followers of the Shruti. Shruti means those Shastras that are heard, and also of certain select Smritis like the Srimad Bhagavatam, of course, which is in a category by itself. So now, these two categories will view things very, very differently. Their worldview differs because of their differing conceptions about the goal of life. And therefore they will follow those scriptures that encourage them and facilitate their attainment of their desired goals. Now, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about two terms, adhikar and ruchi. The word ruchi indicates an inclination or a taste. So different people in this world have different tastes and different inclinations towards certain things, different philosophies of life, different mentalities, etc. So according to that ruchi, they have a certain eligibility or qualification for a certain kind of religious activity. So those who are essentially fruitively inclined will have the tendency to follow the Smartha Shastra. So they have the adhikar or the qualification or eligibility to follow these Smartha Shastras, which is a mix of Karma Kanda and a few other things. Whereas those who are inclined towards devotional service, they have Bhakti Adhikara, and they will spontaneously move towards the Paramarthika Shastras, and they will follow those rules and regulations. You see, the question may be asked that, and it's often asked actually, as there are so many monotheistic religions in the world, especially the Abrahamic religions, and it is very clear and simple. They have one scripture, one book, one God. And even though we as Vaishnavas are monotheistic in the sense that we accept one supreme personality of Godhead, he may manifest in innumerable expansions and forms, but ultimately there's that one supreme Lord. So why then in the Vedic scriptures do we find such a bewildering array of divinities and such a wide range of scriptures which appear to say different things? Is all so confusing. It would have been so simple if there was only one scripture that said just worship Krishna, become his pure devotee, and that's it. So no need to go here and there and the Shaktas and Shaivas and Ganapatyas and so on and so forth, Smarthas, etc. The answer, as given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is that we should not transgress our adhikar or our eligibility. That will lead to disaster. People must act according to their adhikar, and gradually this will form a step-by-step progressive evolution in their spiritual consciousness. Perhaps in this life, perhaps in a later life, they will all gradually come to the point of accepting the Paramarthika Shastras. So therefore, for people of different mentalities and ruchis, these different Shastras in the house of the Vedas have been provided. So now we come to our question of why it is that these two different groups view the Purushottam mass or the month of Purushottam so differently. Because the first group is essentially fruitively inclined, they want to see from the benefit materially that they can get from this month in terms of material religiosity, dharma, artha, kama. Now, what they have done, when they have devised the Vedic calendar, which also actually the Vaishnavas follow to a very large degree, we have only very small differences in certain things that are unique to the Vaishnava calendar, but otherwise we follow the broad framework of the general Vedic calendar. So, in the Vedic calendar, there are 12 months, generally. And this Purushottam month becomes the 13th month, for reasons I will come to very shortly. So, each of these 12 months has certain auspicious and inauspicious times. You know, there is consideration of time, place and circumstance when it comes to the Smartha Shastra, and these are very important. Therefore, you will see that for weddings, there is a muhurta, an auspicious time that is recommended. For Vastu Shanti or Griha Pravesh, for your home, you want to start your home, new house, or you want to begin your Bhumi Puja in the construction. So there is consideration of auspicious times for starting things. So there is consideration of piety and impiety, of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness, etc. So these 12 months have been packed generally with such auspicious and inauspicious times and circumstances. So followers of the Smartha Shastras therefore will be very careful to select those auspicious moments which can facilitate development of religiosity and religious worldly enjoyment. And therefore they decry those days or those periods which do not afford such a facility. Now, this Purushottam month is an extra month. It is a 13th month. And in this 13th month, it is there are no such days for performing religious rituals. There is no such consideration of something being auspicious. There is no good date, so to speak, on these times. So therefore, you cannot do anything auspicious from the materialistic point of view, from the point of view of mundane religiosity. So therefore, followers of the Smartha Shastras, they condemn this month. And they call it Malamasa and Choramasa, and it's abominable, and so on and so forth. They consider it useless. So why is this extra month? Before I talk about how the Vaishnavas view the Purushottam month, let's talk briefly about why this extra month had to come in the first place. So, I mentioned earlier there are 12 months. Now the Western Gregorian calendar also has 12 months. Now, you know, there is a concept of a leap year in the Gregorian Western calendar, right? Generally, a year has 365 days. Actually, it's 365 and a quarter. And most of the months have either 30 days or 31 days. It is only February that has 28 days. But because the Gregorian calendar actually has 365, the movement of the sun completes one revolution in 365 and a quarter days, so you have that extra one quarter of a day. So therefore, when 4 years are completed, then these four quarters become one day. So after 4 years, this one day is added to February, and February in that year gets 29 days. So this is called a leap year. So in that year, you have 366 days. So the concept of adding something to the calendar exists in the Western calendar as well. But here in the Vedic culture, you have something unique where you add an entire month, not just a day. And why is that so? Because you see, in the Vedic calendar, we follow both the solar and the lunar movements. However, the lunar movements are more prominent. The terms like Tithi, like Ekadashi, Tithi. Tithi is the day as per the movement of the moon. So, the duration of a lunar month is more or less fixed. It is approximately 29 days, 29 and a half days. We won't go into the technicalities of exactly how many hours and seconds and etc. etc. But it is approximately 29 and a half days. And therefore, when you multiply it by 12, so 12 such months, you get about 354 days plus something, plus another fraction. So now, there is a difference of approximately 11 days between the lunar year and the solar year. Now, this mismatch cannot be allowed to continue for too long. So we have to synchronize these two calendars. It is important to do that. Otherwise, there will be a lot of confusion in regard to planning out the calendar and the dates and so on. So what is done then is that every time the difference between the lunar year and the solar year accumulates and it becomes a little more than 29 days, then an extra month is added to the lunar year. So you could say approximately after every 32 months, 32 and a half months, we have this extra month coming in. So because it is an extra month, it is called the Adhik Mas. The word Adhik means extra. So this is the reason why we have this extra month. And interestingly, of course, just as an incidental mention, the Navakalevara, that the time when Lord Jagannath, his deity is changed and the old deity is placed in Samadhi, that's called Navakalevara. That happens when the Adhik Mas coincides with the month of Ashad. And that doesn't happen at a fixed duration, sometimes 12 years, sometimes 13 years, sometimes 19 years. So you will find the gap between the Navakalevaras, not constant. It may be any of these time periods. So anyway, the Adhik Mas is something very crucial for the Vedic calendar. And it helps to synchronize the lunar and the solar calendars. Now, I will not go into further detail about this. But suffice it to say that the devotees have a completely different viewpoint now about this Adhik Mas. And the devotees consider this to be the most glorious month. In fact, they interpret the word Adhik and the word Mala, as in Mas, Mala Mas, differently. The word Adhik not only means extra, but the word Adhik can also mean better, greater, beyond. So, as far as we are concerned, we will see this Adhik Mas as something that is a better month, the best month, the greater month. And in terms of Mala Mas, the Smartha Sampradaya people will consider this to be, like stool, but we will consider that this Mala Mas is the time when all the mala or the contamination within our heart is cleansed. That is the way we will look at it. So let's briefly speak about some of the pastimes that are mentioned in the various Puranas. Essentially, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has mentioned that there are discussions in the Skanda Purana, in the Padma Purana, and also in the Naradiya Purana. There are different narrations. So I'll combine a few of them in brief and try to narrate them today. The most common one being the one where the goddess, who is the goddess of this extra month, goes in great pain and anguish to Lord Vishnu. Because she is extremely aggrieved, and naturally, because everyone in the world has condemned her, it always blasphemes her and gives her all sorts of bad names. And because she's so thoroughly reviled in the human race, she's very, very aggrieved, and she has no shelter, no protection, etc. So one time, soon after she arrived, of course, this is way, way, way back in time, because we're talking of the origin of this whole extra month. So she went to Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, and she was weeping piteously, and she fell at Lord Vishnu's feet, and she said, "Please, please protect me. I have no father. I have no, I have no protector. I have nobody. So please protect me. So, I want to die. I want to die." She was repeatedly saying this. So Vishnu said, "Look, you have taken shelter of me. Anyone who takes shelter of me should not have any anguish. They should not be aggrieved in this manner." Incidentally, it is also a lesson for all of us. As devotees, when we take shelter of Krishna, then when there is difficulty, we should take more shelter of Krishna. And it is natural that there will be anguish, but by taking deeper shelter of Krishna, we will be able to deal with it and transcend it. So anyway, so Lord Vishnu heard her problem, and he understood that this was a very grave problem. And he felt that even he was not in a position to solve it. So he said, "I will take you to Goloka Vrindavan, to Krishna, who is there with all the gopis performing wonderful pastimes. And definitely he will solve your problem." So then Vishnu took the goddess of this extra month, Adhik Mas, or the Mala Mas, with him. And as they approached Goloka Vrindavan, that transcendental planet was so effulgent, the light was so strong, that this goddess could not bear it. So Lord Vishnu kept her behind him, and he went ahead. He was welcomed by the gatekeepers at Goloka, and he was ushered into the presence of Krishna, and he actually offered pranam or obeisances to Krishna. And then he also instructed the goddess of the extra month to similarly do so. And she fell at Lord Krishna's feet in Goloka and wept bitterly and asking for mercy and protection. And so Krishna asked what the problem is. And then when he heard the problem, he said, "Don't worry." And he spoke to Lord Vishnu and said that, "My dear Janardhan, my dear Garuda Dhaja, please know that once you have accepted her, I have also accepted her. How can I reject her when you have accepted her and you want to solve her problem? So rest assured now that her problem is solved. Henceforth, I will give her all protection. So much so that I will give her month my name. I am the best of all personalities. I am Purushottama. And therefore, this month shall be named after me, and henceforth it shall be called the Purushottam month. This month will be as powerful, as potent, as opulent as me in its capacity to offer benedictions to the people of the material world. It will be equal to me. It will be worshipable as I am worshipable. There will be no difference between this month and me. And anyone who actually worships this month will attain enormous benefit. Not only will they get whatever material benefit that is there, that they desire, but they will also attain the utmost spiritual benefit of attaining to my abode, Goloka Vrindavan. And at that time, and then he said, Krishna said it, but if someone does not follow, then all sorts of calamities will befall that person. And in this way, he pacifies the goddess and gives her a benediction that is quite inconceivable. Naturally, she is very, very pleased and happy. Now, the background to this story is like a story within a story within a story, that as often happens in the Vedic scriptures and especially the Puranas. It all started off by the sages at Nainisharanya welcoming Suta Goswami, who had been to various places of pilgrimage and who had also heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami as he spoke it to King Parikshit. So when the sages wanted to hear more, then he also spoke about the holy Purushottam month. And he said that one time Narad Muni had gone to Badrik Ashram to take darshan of Lord Narayana Rishi. As you know, at Badrik Ashram, we have Naranarayana Rishi who reside there. So, Narad Muni made a plea to the Lord that he would recommend some method by which the conditioned souls of this world, whether householders or renunciants, could be delivered from material existence and attain to the spiritual world. So Lord Narayana Rishi replied, I will tell you about the glories of the Purushottam month. So Narad Muni was a little surprised. He said, my dear Lord, I have heard about Kartik month, I have heard about Vaishak, about Chaitra, about Magh, about Shravan, and the glories of these months, but I have never before heard about this Purushottam month. So please tell me, what is it? So then Lord Narayana Rishi actually speaks this pastime. And then he speaks about how actually at this time, and this whole thing further comes down to Krishna, who has come to Kamyaka forest. It begins with the narration of the Pandavas being exiled into the forest. Draupadi has also gone along with the Pandavas. And when they are in the forest, then they have many, many difficulties. They live in the Kamyaka forest. Nowadays we call it the Kamyavan in Brajabhumi. So they are visited by Krishna one time when they are in Kamyakavan. And when they see Krishna, naturally they are overwhelmed with joy. And Krishna is also very pleased to see them. But at the same time, he becomes very sad to see their plight. And he also becomes extremely furious at what Duryodhan has done by sending his beloved devotees into the forest like this and perpetrating such a gross injustice upon them. So he becomes so angry that it appears he's about to destroy the whole universe. Then all the Pandavas in great humility fell at his feet and begged him to give up his anger. Being pleased with the humility and devotion of the Pandavas, then Krishna was pacified and he said, now I will tell you about something very special, the glories of the Purushottam month. And then it was Krishna who narrated the glories of Purushottam month actually to whatever I have said before this, to the Pandavas and to Draupadi. And then he said that, my dear Pandavas, please know that you are in this sorrowful condition today because you neglected to observe the Purushottam month that passed by. And as far as Draupadi is concerned, her history is as follows, that she was the daughter of a sage called Medha or Medhavi. Both names are there in the scriptures. And Her mother died when she was a young child, and the father raised her. But the sage, Medhavi or Medha, was too absorbed in spiritual practices and austerities, and he could not give much attention to his girl, to his daughter, who was rapidly growing up. Soon it came to be that she was of marriageable age, and while all her friends were getting married, she was the only one who wasn't getting married. And eventually her father also left his body. Now she was all alone. She had no father, no brother, no relatives, and no friends, no husband, nobody to protect her. So she became very, very aggrieved. At this time, Durvasa Muni, the legendary Durvasa Muni, who was renowned for his mystic powers and for his anger as well, and for his curses, he came to this spot because Medhavi Rishi had been his friend. So he wanted to visit the daughter and to also console her. So he came there and he saw her in this pitiable condition, and he asked her what had happened. And upon hearing her about her plight, he considered the matter for a while, and then he said, "My dear girl, now you can follow the Purushottam month, which is about to come very soon. This Purushottam month has been declared by all the great personalities and sages, including the great demigods like Shiva and Brahma, to be the most exalted month, even greater than Kartik and Magh and Chaitra, Vaishak, etc. So anyone who follows the vow of Purushottam month will attain happiness in this life, will attain freedom from all sinful reactions, and ultimately will go back to Goloka Vrindavan to be with Lord Krishna permanently." So when he glorified the Purushottam month in this way, this girl, she spoke imprudently to him, and she said, "My dear sage, I do not believe this at all. How can it be? This month is called Adhik Mas, which is known as Malamas. It is condemned by everybody in human society. It is abominable. Nothing good can come out of this month. No benefit is achieved. No ritualistic or religious activities can be done. So this month is absolutely useless. And still you are telling me something that is opposed to the conclusions of the scriptures. So what you are saying is a lie, and you are cheating me like this." So, you know, Durvasa Muni is the wrongest person you can speak to like that. Now, even a slight transgression of etiquette can get Durvasa Muni infuriated. And here this young girl was talking in such an impudent manner to him. Naturally, he became very enraged. And he became red, his eyes became red with anger. His body was trembling with rage. His lips were quivering. But somehow or the other, with great difficulty, he controlled himself, because this was the daughter of his dear friend. So anyway, he said, "You foolish girl, you do not wish to heed words of wisdom from your well-wishers, and you are so ignorant that you do not understand, or you are not even willing to hear the conclusions of the scriptures, and you have offended me. I don't mind that. I will let that pass, I will overlook it, but I cannot overlook your offense to the Purushottam month. So therefore, this will cause great inauspiciousness in your life." And then Durvasa Muni left. After that, immediately, this young girl lost all her effulgence, and she became extremely ugly, and she was grieving even more. And then she decided to worship Lord Shiva, because she knew that Shiva is Ashutosh, who will always give benedictions very easily. He is pleased easily. So by performing penances for 9,000 years, Lord Shiva finally appeared and asked her, "So my dear child, what do you want? What benediction can I offer you?" And she was so flustered and unprepared for the sudden appearance of Lord Shiva in front of her that she did not know what to do. So she had in her mind the desire to want a husband. So she said, "I want a husband, I want a husband." And she said it 5 times in her nervousness and excitement. So then Lord Shiva said, "So be it, you will get 5 husbands. So she said, no, that is not what I wanted. I just wanted 1 husband, but I was so excited, I said it 5 times. But he said, "My words cannot be changed, so you will have it in the next life, if not in this life." And then Lord Shiva departed. In course of time, this girl also left her body. And she was born from the sacrificial fire of King Drupada and became his daughter, and therefore she was called Draupadi. And because of this incident from a previous life, she had to get 5 husbands. And then because she also did not follow the Purushottam mass, and because of her offense to this mass, this month, she had to undergo the humiliation of the attempted disrobing by Dushasana. So then Lord Krishna told them, "Now all of you, please make sure that you follow the vows of the Purushottama month." So then they all resolved to do that. And when the next Purushottama month came, very eagerly they all followed that month. Now this is one pastime. There is another episode also of this, where in another Purana there is an episode where Valmiki Muni speaks to a king whose name is Dhridhanva, and he speaks to him about Purushottam month and what has to be done in that month. So as far as when Narad Muni speaks to him, he speaks first about the importance of bathing before in the Brahma Muhurta hour. As you know, the Brahma Muhurta hour starts 1.5 hours roughly, ends 1.5 before the sunrise. It starts there and goes on for 48 minutes. So one should take bath early in the morning. And in that Purana, it is described that there are 3 types of baths which are declared by the wise. The best bath is that which is taken in a river which meets the sea. The second intermediate level of bath is that which is taken in a lake or a pond or a well. That's the second best. And the bath in one's own home is an ordinary bath. Now, of course, all of us fall in the third category, probably almost all the time, except when we may go to Mayapur or Vrindavan or to some other holy place and we have the opportunity to take bath in a holy river. But this morning I was just mentioning that because it is not practical for us to take this kind of a bath on a regular basis, what we can do is to follow the principle, and that's also part of Vedic culture actually, that when you have water in your bucket, in that sense a shower, you know, because the modern system is of a shower from the top, it may not be so suitable, but when you have the water in a bucket, then you touch your thumb without touching the nail to the water, and then you chant the words Gange cha Yamune chaiva Godavari Saraswati Narmade Sindho Kaveri Jalesmin Sannidhim Kuru Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. And in this way, we are invoking the waters from the 7 holy rivers, Ganga, Yamuna, etc., to come into this bucket of water. And then as we take water, we can remember and chant and utter their names. Hey Gange, Hey Yamune, Hey Godavari, Hey Saraswati, like that. And we can also chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that's the best we can do in our situation. So that's on a regular daily basis, but specifically in this month, the baths like this are very, very beneficial. Where possible, for those who are living in a place where it is practical to do this, certainly go to the river and take a bath in the morning. Do be careful, of course. And then Valmiki Muni says that after taking bath, one should perform Achaman with clean hands, make a paste of Gopi Chandan, and wear a simple, beautiful, straight Urdhva Pundra tilak on the forehead, and also marks of conch disc and so on the body. And then it is declared in this Purana. So first thing was that we should do in this month, to worship this month, is to wake up early in the morning before Brahma Murta and take a bath in the manner that I just mentioned. The second thing that is mentioned as being obligatory as part of the worship of this month is to worship Sri Sri Krishna and Radha Rani also. So Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So it is said, Purushottama Masasya Daivatam Purushottamaha Tasmat Sampujayet Bhaktya Shraddhaya Purushottamam. The Purushottama Masasya, in this Purushottama month, Daivatam Purushottamaha, the Lord Purushottam, Tasmat Sampujayet Bhaktya Shraddhaya Purushottamam. One should worship Lord Purushottama with faith, with devotion, in this divine month of Purushottama. And we should do that with 16 types of paraphernalia. For those of you who do pujari service, you can do that. And then it says, Agaccha Deva Devesha Shri Krishna Purushottama Radhaya Sahitaschatra Grihana Pujanam Mama. So one should also worship Srimati Radharani along with Krishna. So we should worship Radha Krishna. There is also mentioned that especially Suta Goswami, when he was speaking to the sages, and this is mentioned in the Naradiya Purana, that those especially having taken birth in India and have never heard of Purushottama, so don't follow the Vrata of Purushottama, they are destined to undergo repeated birth and death. So therefore, in this month, one should not discuss worldly literature or worldly poetry and worldly topics and so on and so forth. So that's another instruction for this month. No prajalpa. That means no discussing mundane topics. Of course, if it is your profession, you're working outside, you have to deal with some computer software or whatever it is, you know, then so be it. But only when it is necessary for your... When it is not necessary, we should not discuss anything. It says one should not sleep on the bed of others. One should not have discussions about worldly objects. One should not criticize others. Devotee or non-devotee, one should be very cautious, especially in this month, to avoid Vaishnava Aparadha in particular and criticizing anybody. One should also not eat any food which is not prasadam. That in any case is important for devotees. And furthermore, what is said here is that one should give in charity to the brahmanas and to the devotees. And this is an important part of it, because Krishna has said to Vishnu also, when Vishnu went with the goddess of the Malamas to him in Goloka Vrindavan, he said essentially these things: the bath, a worship and chanting of his names, and the third was charity. So these were three things that he said essentially. So charity is very important in this age, and there are many, many other details which I will not go into. But especially the chanting of the holy names, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and reciting it and reading it, studying it, you know, singing the songs of devotional service, you know, like Chaura Graganya Purushashtakam, Sri Nandanandanashtakam and Jagannathashtakam and so on and so forth. So all our Vaishnava songs, essentially, we should try to sing in this month. So you can chant different songs on different days, or you can select a few of these songs and chant them every day. Sometimes they recommend you can chant the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, because that is the Purushottama Yoga, you know, that 15th chapter. So also, in the Naradi Puran, there is mention of a sage called Kaundilya Muni, who chanted the mantra which is known as Govardhanam Dharam Vande. Vande means I offer my prayer to whom? Govardhan Dharam. Dharam, so one who has held up Govardhana hill. Govardhana Dharam Vande Gopalan Goparupinam Gokulotsavam Ishanam Govindam Gopika Priyam. Govardhana Dharam Vande. I offer my prayers and obeisances to he who is Govardhana Dhari, who has held up Govardhan Hill, who is a cowherd boy, Gopalam, and he appears in the form of a gopa, of a cowherd boy. His name is Gopal, and he is a festival for the entire Gokula. Seeing him is a festival, hearing him is a festival. He is the controller of all controllers. He is Govinda. And he's also dear, he's Gopika Priyam, he's dear to all the gopis. So essentially, one should chant mantras like this. You can select what you want to do. There is a choice. Maybe some devotees would like to chant 24 rounds of Maha Mantra every day instead of the usual minimum 16. Some may chant 32, some may even want to chant 64. But please remember that vows should not be taken casually. Only take a vow if you are sure that you can follow it. If you are doubtful about whether you can observe that vow all through the month, don't take it. Or take a vow that is less strict. So, in any case, take a small vow, whatever you think you can manage, but stick to it for the whole month. So, in this way, the Ekantika Bhaktas, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that they simply like to hear and chant. So the primary activity of this month of Purushottam should be to hear and chant the glories of the Lord, His names, etc. So you can also offer ghee lamp to the deities like you do in Kartik month. If you can't go to the temple, then just chant, then do the same in your house. If you have deities in your house, that's fine. Otherwise, offer to a picture of Radha and Krishna and to other deities that you may have of Lord Vishnu in your house. Every day try to do arati and parikrama, pradakshina of Tulasi Maharani, especially in this month. If you can do the circumambulation of the temple, you know, that's okay, but now in this corona times, I don't know whether that's possible. Perhaps you're living very far from the temple and you can't go there. So then you can just perhaps circumambulate your house because you have your deities in your house. So in any case, try to do as much of all of this as possible and offer obeisances to the devotees. And in this way, essentially try to make use of every single moment of this month for your Krishna consciousness. Try to do a little austerity if you can. Try to give up something that is dear to you in terms of food or something else. And if you can, try to sleep on the ground, not in a bed. If you can't, it's okay. But the prime focus should be on hearing and chanting and trying to develop our love for Radha and Krishna. Okay, so I think I've gone beyond my time. So this is why the devotees consider this month, Purushottam, to be so holy, so auspicious, so exalted. So let us all try to take advantage of this month for our a devotional progress and for the purification of our heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Sri Purushottama month, Sri Purushottama mas ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyama Sundar ki jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Shri Giri Govardhan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanande, Hari Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions? Especially if it is relevant to the topic for today.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, yes, please.
Just have a little question, Maharaj.
Yes.
So what is the significance of the ghee lamp, Maharaj? We hear that very often, even during Kartik, we offer, and you know, even throughout the year. And it is always said that it burns away the sins. But what is the deeper significance of the ghee lamp?
Well, is your focus on the lamp or the ghee?
Both.
Both, okay. So, firstly the lamp. Generally, the lamp is lit in front of the Lord. And when we perform arati also, we offer the lamp. Because we light up the lotus face of the Lord and the lotus and the entire body of the Lord also. So that dispels darkness. It illuminates. So the Pancharatrika scriptures explain that such illumination of the form of the Lord, the deity form of the Lord by the devotee, is a great service. The Lord is very pleased. And then we can take darshan of the Lord. And even if you offer this lamp in daytime when you can see, still it is considered a very, very nice service to the Lord. Actually, the word arati is a short form of the word aratrika, that which dispels the darkness of the night. Ratri is the night, you know, so that which illuminates. So, this is considered very devotionally helpful and pleasing to the Lord. As far as ghee, yes, ghee, because ghee is the best substance as far as the fuel is concerned, even as a cooking medium, cow's ghee, pure cow's ghee. In the absence of pure cow's ghee, we can use some pure oil like sesame oil or perhaps coconut oil or something like that. Okay. So one question that is here in the chat box is that you were mentioning that there are different types of brahmanas such as smarthas, ganapatyas, etc. As devotees, how should we deal with these worshippers? Well, we should deal with them like we deal with everybody else. We should deal with them courteously, and if they are interested in hearing about Krishna consciousness, we should tell them something about Krishna. If they are willing to come for a satsang, they're willing to come for kirtan, willing to do some devotional service to Krishna, we should engage them in some way that doesn't disturb them too much. And in this way, we, by exemplary dealings with them, by inspiring them, we can try to bring them to Krishna consciousness. And if they are not inclined, then just maintain some nice relation with them, give them some prasadam, etc. And let them now and then just chant the name of Krishna when they see you. Okay? Okay, next question here is that one should circumambulate Tulasi Maharani. Any particular number one should circulate? Well, one should number is four. One should circumambulate Tulasi Maharani four times. Of course, it is in our movement, it has become the practice to do it three times. It's also okay. But generally, worshipping, circumambulating the deity of the Lord or Tulsi Maharani is done four times, but three is also acceptable. But if you're doing Tulsi, because the circumambulation is much smaller, so you can do four times. And remember to offer obeisances also. Another question here is that Adhik Mas has come after 28 months. Is there a reason it came a bit early this time? Well, I don't remember exactly when Adhik Mas was previously. But anyway, the point is that usually it comes when that the gap between the lunar month and the solar months is about 29 and a fraction of the day. Okay, another question here is that, is it true that our sins as well as our devotional acts are magnified in this month? No, it is only the devotional acts that are magnified in this month. Actually, Krishna said to Lord Vishnu, I omitted many of the things because of shortage of time, but one of the things Krishna says to Lord Vishnu in Goloka Vrindavan, when Vishnu comes with the goddess of the Valamas, is that every other month is Sakama. Sakama means it is capable of fulfilling and it is meant for fulfilling certain material desires as far as the smartas are concerned. But this Purushottam month is Nishkama because there is nothing to do with anything material in this month. So there is no question of any effect on your sin or piety except that all these material reactions will get destroyed by the fire of the devotional service that we do in this month. And what will get magnified is our devotional activities. Okay, so I think that's all. So I think we'll stop here. So I wish you all a very, very happy, Krishna conscious, Purushottam month. Do get together whenever you can, keeping in mind the corona issue. I don't know what it is like at your place, but keep in mind the rules, you know, the safety precautions of the COVID-19 situation. And if you can't get together physically, get together virtually as we are getting together now. And in any case, try to do your devotional service a little more intensely in this month. So thank you very much once again. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.